The Behind the Bets podcast with Doug Kazarian is presented by DraftKings. Download the app for free today.
Vegas, baby, Vegas!
At the end of the game, you count up your money. That's how you find out who's best.
If all my bets were safe, there just wouldn't be any juice.
The point spreads, the prop bets, the teasers, the parlays. From Vegas to you. This is Behind the Bets.
Welcome into the latest Behind the Bets podcast. I'm Doug Kazarian. We are taping this remote location Friday, March 6th in Boston at the Sloan Analytics Conference. As you would imagine, it's been very fun, interesting, and informative. And coming up in a little bit, the full taping of the live audience we had on the dais. Jeff Ma, who you obviously know in betting circles, avid sports bettor, sort of a pioneer of this conference, but it goes back to the MIT Blackjack Day, someone I've referenced a lot that I played water polo against him back in the 90s when he was coaching MIT. So we go way back. Big fan of Jeff's. And then also Steve Koonin, who's CEO of the Atlanta Hawks, obviously the NBA, all in on gambling. Steve has some really interesting insight in what he's sort of uncovered, talking to even lawmakers in the state of Georgia. So all that's coming up. Really fun discussion. Also, I'd like to remind everyone that Katie Nolan has a podcast where she talks all things sports and non-sports related topics. Make sure you download and subscribe to Sports with that question mark with Katie Nolan, as well as Behind the Bets with Doug Kazarian on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, before we get into today's show, a quick word from one of our sponsors, DraftKings. There's plenty going on at DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. DraftKings will have millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs this week. Are you feeling the sweat yet? Your favorite NBA team definitely is with the playoffs right around the corner. Draft your team today for a shot to be crowned the champion. This is your opportunity to earn big cash prizes with basketball contests every night throughout the rest of the season. DraftKings is giving you a free shot at $30,000 in total prizes with your first deposit. Drafting your team is simple. Just select your players and stay under the salary cap. The best part is you get to draft a new team every day without any commitment. Plus, when you join DraftKings today, you can play free for over $30,000 in prizes with your first deposit. Get in on all of this week's action. Download the DraftKings app now. Enter code Doug during sign up and get a free shot at over $30,000 in prizes with your first deposit. Don't forget, that's code Doug, and get a free shot at over $30,000 in prizes with your first deposit. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. I just want to introduce the panel up here and the guests on the podcast. Steve Koonin, who is CEO of the Atlanta Hawks, and obviously the NBA very active with the betting space. So Steve's going to share some experiences and his insight and what he's uncovered and been exposed to in those conversations that we do not have access to. And Jeff Ma, a founding father, if you will, of Sloan. Is that fair or is that a little extreme?
I'd say that's fair. I'd say that I don't deserve any credit. Like, you know, Daryl and Jess and the students obviously deserve all the credit. But I was here at the first one. I've only missed one. It used to be in classrooms at MIT, believe it or not. And yeah, I mean, it's the way that it's grown is incredible, and it's great to come back every year for it.
Well, Jeff's obviously synonymous with betting, not only his days with the MIT Blackjack team, but very present in the sports betting conversations and with his background of analytics and predictive measures and really interesting. So I just want to, let's just start with Sloan, Jeff, and just how much betting and has become a topic of discussion over the years, and obviously now since the Supreme Court ruling nearly 2 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, we've always had, well, not always, but I'd say for the last, what, 5 or 6 years, we've had a sports betting panel. I think 3 years ago, we had Ted Olson, who was the former Solicitor General of the United States, who was the person that argued for New Jersey, essentially overturning PASPA. He was actually on the sports betting panel that I moderated, and you know, it's definitely been interesting to watch both the content of what we talk about on these sports betting panels evolve as the conversation around sports betting has evolved. Which is, you know, when we first got here, I think it was very taboo to even talk about sports betting, and you know, the sports betting panel was sort of a lot of times they tried to make it small. But analytics has always been so at the center of sports betting. I mean, like, why would you do analytics in sports if not to bet on sports, right? I mean, that's the dirty secret, right? And I think that, you know, I think Doug, you actually made a really good point, which is not something I say very often, but you made a really good point on your panel today that, you know, PASPA did not invent sports betting, right? Sports betting has been happening, in the United States for a long time, right? And what PASPA, overturning PASPA has done has allowed people to feel a little bit less dirty when they talk about sports betting and feel a little bit more comfortable about talking about it. You know, really just embracing the idea of how much engagement it creates in sports.
Yeah, and something we did not get to talk about on the panel, which I thought was really interesting, the other guests, just talking about how it's created a new way of conversation about sports. I mean, there's only so much you can do on a Wednesday looking ahead to the Patriots game. Who's going to be the X factor in this game? I mean, it just gets so stale after so long, but it's a new entry point into a conversation about sports. You can use the highest over-under in the last 5 years, Chiefs, whoever, and then you just ask Teddy Bruschi which defense is going to stop the other team's offense. You don't even get a pick out of him, but you use that as an entry point. So people who are in sort of the presentation business, which is what the media is, it's just another sort of tool on the tool belt. And the people that who have been sort of frustrated with that taboo label are just kind of finally feeling freed, and then obviously the states following that as well. And I want to talk to you, Steve, just in terms of, you know, the NBA started with Adam Silver's op-ed column in the New York Times, I believe it was, and just sort of the conversations that went on with among NBA brass and team brass, because look, you have a multi-billion dollar operation, and this is new territory. At the time, probably the conversation started, it was illegal prior to PASPA overruling. And at some point, there had to be some pioneers there to sort of spearhead the change and the conversation. I just want to just take me behind closed doors, so to speak. And like, what was discussed, and how hard was it to get to this point with the NBA?
Well, the biggest long shot of today is somebody from Atlanta, Georgia, sitting on a sports gambling panel. It is not approved in our state. Right. We're right in the middle of it, and I've testified at the Georgia House of Representatives twice this week trying to get it approved. You said it, Jeff said a key piece. It's happening. It's existing. And we want to see it regulated. We want to see it taxed. And Adam had the line about moving it from the darkness into the sunshine, because sunshine's a great disinfectant. And so it was a very bold move on the commissioner's part to be the first sports league. But very quickly, baseball has partnered with us, PGA Golf, and now the NFL, who wouldn't allow ads to come visit Vegas to be in their programming, now has a team in Vegas. Still during the playoffs would not let Vegas ads in their programming. But what used to be taboo has now become mainstream. And I've been testifying to these legislators who come from towns you've never heard of, who look at this as talking about sin, and trying to convince them that legalizing something that's already happening by exposing it to regulation, to taxation, by building a model around it, absolutely is better than leaving it in the dark. And so what you're starting to see now, 19 states have approved it. In fact, actually two border states to Georgia, Tennessee, and North Carolina. We believe by 2024, 40 states will have approved it. I hope to be one of them. And I think it will become mainstream engagement. But when I was testifying this week, I said, I stand before you advocating a position on something that we as a team will make no money from.
You don't think you'll make any money, whether it be through television, viewership, sponsorship, anything like that?
There will be no direct money. I had to define for them, we're not going to be the house. We're not going to be the bookie. We're not going to be collecting the tax. We're not going to get a license or a royalty fee. If any dollars are made by us, maybe some sponsorship from some of the
increased
people,
popularity.
But more important, that engagement. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the world lives through here. And now our games are being watched through here, or highlights of our games. And if we can be convenient, safe, easy, and part of the lifestyle of our fans, then it will drive popularity, and that drives revenue, and that drives engagement.
And the pushback is probably stemming from the taboo nature of it, the vice component, whereas overseas, in the UK per se, it's just considered part of entertainment. A concession experience, I believe, is sort of the phrase that's often used.
That is a cultural divide we are struggling to cross.
So you say 40 states by 2024?
Yes.
Where do we cross that divide from the just the sort of opinion of gambling?
Well, I think we've crossed it nationally of the opinion of gambling.
You legally have, we have.
No, but I'm saying you wouldn't have a show on ESPN.
That's true. Disney, you know, especially.
He's
Disney.
Very talented, though. He might still have a show.
He would have other work. Yeah. But Disney's a conservative company. More importantly, the league rights holders have a tremendous amount of influence on content. And so I definitely think it's into the mainstream now. And you're seeing in the crawl odds virtually on Fox. You're seeing it on all the networks. And so the language of sports betting has become part of our vocabulary. It's just a matter of time to where the participation gets to take place.
How have you observed everything from that? Because
I mean, it's been surprising how quickly everyone, and maybe it shouldn't be surprising, right? Because when you hand someone a check or you like give them a new revenue source, they're not going to say no, and like all of a sudden their morals, quote unquote, or their those go out the window, right? And that's what's happening.
You need to come to Georgia.
Yeah.
The well, check's that's, not that's working. More, that's more. Check's not working per se.
No, but I mean, like there is, and there is going to be, like, you know, I think one of the things is New Jersey has done a great job, right? New Jersey has done a great job setting the sort of right message, and you know, the numbers that are coming out of there are pretty big. And you know, I think that, you know, the again, like, I am surprised at how quickly it, you know, people are moving, and the reality is, like, you know, New York doesn't really have it. You know, they have a kind of a BS version of it. California doesn't have it. Texas doesn't have it. And Florida doesn't have it. So you think about how much, you know, how much happens in those states and how big. When those turn, it's going to be much different. And it's going to be even more mainstream. So, you know, it's moved quickly. I think it will continue to move quickly. It's a big mess, though. I mean, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. I've started four different businesses. And everyone asked me, why aren't you starting a business in there? And I said, okay, well, let me tell you. You're going to start a business that's highly regulated, highly competitive. There's a ton of money in it. There's incumbents. Oh, and by the way, you might have to build 50 different products. Like, I'm not signing on for that. And until they relax some of these regulations or they start making things a little bit more friendly, there's not going to be a ton of innovation in this space. And, you know, that's the frustrating thing. Like, the notion that, you know, a millennial sports fan is going to plop down a bet on, you know, Celtics minus 2.5 and then wait 5 hours for that outcome to come. That's not what millennial people, which I'm sure some of you guys are in here. I'm too old to be one. And, you know, it's not the behavior. I don't know what the behavior is going to be exactly. It's not like micro betting in game, I don't think, but there's some version of games out there that's going to be much more interesting than the way that things are right now. And the innovation is not going to happen unless, you know, something gets easier to build a business.
You said you have to build 50 different products. What do you mean by that?
All the states have different regulations. So they have different technology restrictions. So you literally have to, you know, host your server in different places, or you have different ways that the data can flow in and out, or they have different, you know, they when they launch a new market, like a DraftKings or FanDuel, there is significant technology associated with launching a new market, launching a new state. And there's all obviously regulatory and tons of different things. So it's not easy. And so you might end up building 50 different products, essentially.
I want to go back to the Hawks. And you said you guys would not see a dime direct, like in a link out or something like that, and like book the bets. But have you done projections on or compared your team's P&L sheets or whatever versus like a state that has betting with an NBA team, and sort of what kind of boost they've received in any revenue they've generated because of that increased fan engagement?
Well, what we've seen is that somebody who bets on a game is 10 times more likely to watch the game. And so when your TV ratings, your radio ratings, your digital connections are strong, you're able to make more money. And so what we're seeing is a different level of relevance and we're seeing it in Pennsylvania. We're seeing it in a little bit coming out of New Jersey, but it's hard because there's no team in New Jersey. Now you got Brooklyn instead of, but what we're seeing are footprints of television that are seeing ratings growth. And the real question of monetizing it from a team is about growing those fans. And how do you make yourself relevant? Because that's what this is about. You know, I don't disagree with Jeff. It's not going to be over-unders and games picking sides, but there's got to be some gamification inside of it. And we as a league are spending significant amounts of money to have real-time data delivered for odds-making. And that's going to create some kind of products that you should be able to wager on.
So some of that, and Jeff, I'm going to steer this to you, some of that is, you know, how can we make this more millennial friendly? And it could be LeBron gets fouled. Will he make 0, 1, or 2 free throws to this trip? And other sports are more conducive to that. There was an article recently saying golf might be the biggest benefactor. Just the speed of the game is conducive to short-term betting. And then also baseball, I think, is in that category. I think the lag, there's too much lag with NBA, but isn't that sort of a path that you were kind of alluded to earlier?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of things, right, that you, the ecosystem is sort of like the biggest thing that people should be investing in right now. And, you know, someone asked today about 5G on your panel, and I think that that's, you know, obviously an interesting thing. I mean, the reality is 5G is not going to be a reality for a while because nobody has 5G handsets. So the, but all of these things lend themselves to the idea that, okay, we can create like a more interactive, a better betting experience. But I wouldn't even say it's as simple as saying like, oh, does LeBron make 0, 1, or 2 free throws? It really is around just the whole experience itself. Like, you know, when you right now, check to see if you want to bet, it's akin to like looking at an online banking statement, right? There's nothing, there's no dopamine there. There's no amount of like enjoyment from doing this. And so, that whole experience, right? Like if you took this and showed it to someone who's a gamer or is a game developer, they would just look at it and they would laugh because it's such a bad experience to follow a game and follow your bets. The other problem is with sports betting is it's not as immersive as you'd like for a game, right? During the game, it's pretty immersive because you're really into it and you're sweating it, but like games aren't happening all the time, right? So do we have to start, would it be good to start developing new forms of content and new types of events that are geared much towards sports betting? Like, so if any of you guys followed The Match, which was something set up with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson playing against each other at Shadow Creek, those types of things, like events that are really made for betting are, you know, those are the kind of innovations that I'm talking about. You know, it's not as, everyone thinks it's as simple as in-play wagering or something like that. That may be one of the answers, right? That certainly will engage you. But like the idea of golf, right, which I agree, like if you could actually bet on every individual hole of a golf match, right, where like on Thursday at the, you know, TPC Sawgrass or whatever, when no one's probably watching this stuff, if you had an ability to do a contained 15-minute bet on a hole, you'd probably do it if you had some time to kill. It'd be pretty fun, right? But there, this isn't necessarily the problem, again, is that like a lot of the media companies aren't thinking about it like this. Like the sportsbook operators don't have the bandwidth to innovate, and like startups can't get into the space.
More with Jeff and Steve in a moment, but first a word from one of our sponsors. Guys, everyone has performance issues at some point. Want to avoid it? Get to BlueChew.com. BlueChew.com has the first ever chewable that brings your performance to another level. Check this out. They've got the same active ingredients that are in Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. Since they're chewable, they can work faster. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And this stuff is cheaper than those other two, so this is a no-brainer. Plus, you don't need to go to the doctor's office or spend time waiting in the pharmacy line. Blue Chew's online physician consult is free, and once approved, your order ships straight to your door in discreet packaging. Here's a great deal for you guys. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first order free when you use promo code BETS. That's B-E-T-S. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code BETS.
You know, it's interesting you said that. Next week at the Players' Championships, they're going to have 170 cameras to do exactly what you're talking about, to see if technically they can capture every single shot and then frame it so you can find some kind of proposition to wager on. So NBC is investing all of that time and all of those resources to have 170 cameras on a golf course.
And it's not just because of millennials. I think all of our work lives, because of technology as opposed to when we were children, you just have more opportunity to do your job, and therefore you don't have 3.5 hours to watch a baseball game, as maybe back in the day some professions you couldn't even take work home with you. And so nowadays, with all technology and just how advanced we are in 2020, we just don't have that much disposable time for sports and entertainment. Is that fair?
Reed Hastings, the chairman of Netflix, last week asked about his competition. He said one of his main competitors is sleep.
Yeah.
That takes time.
I know local news is having a hard time. Morning shows are the only thing, because people are still starting their day at the same time. But this is, even goes back to like 7 years ago when local news was really still a thing. And just the 6 p.m., the 11 p.m. were just not appointment television anymore.
I mean, that's a really valid thing to think about with sports. And all of you guys obviously are interested in sports, otherwise you wouldn't be here. But sports is like one of the last appointment viewing type things. And so, you know, the more that we can embrace that and you know, the challenge that, just so you guys understand, the challenge with in-play wagering right now is there's many challenges to it, right? One of the challenges is technology. The other is the sports books don't want to take on that liability. They intentionally deny, you know, live bets because they want to make sure that they have an edge on you. So they literally have people watching what's happening in the game before they accept your bet to make sure that they're not getting picked off and to make sure that they're getting the best of you. So this idea of again, investing in the ecosystem where, you know, there are, you know, startups and people that really want to innovate in user experience. Because one of the things that I think is interesting, right? So I'm a sports bettor and, you know, obviously I care a lot about it. I enjoy it. But I also am very mixed on legalization in some ways, because if you think about growing the overall size of the industry, right, growing handle. So there's two ways you can grow revenue here, right? You grow handle, which is the overall amount of money bet, or you can grow margin. If you grow margin, that's really bad because that means more people are losing money, a higher percentage of money. If you grow handle, it means that more people are also losing a lot of money. So how do I, as, you know, steward of this, think about that? And I think at first when I started looking at the space, I had a lot of trouble with the ethical nature of trying to get more people to bet, because it's going to be more people losing money. But then if you compare it to like another industry like insurance, right? So when the insurance industry grows, it means that more people are actually losing money because they're paying for insurance that they're not using. But why do they do that? They pay because they get peace of mind, or there's some, you know, other reason they do. But generally there's value there. So what's the value from sports betting? Well, the value is around entertainment, right? Like, just like you said, in Europe, how they look at it. And I think that's right. That's entertainment. So as an industry, the focus should be on that piece, right? Entertainment. Because it's never going to be on allowing the sharps to make money. They're never going to do that, right? They can't do that because of their business. So the only way to grow handle is to make it more and more entertaining and open it up for more and more casual fans.
Because in theory, and you don't want to, I mean, and I applaud you for being concerned with the domino effect that could be ethically challenging, but it's not about the extremes, right? There's extreme of almost anything is bad, right? Food, shopping, I mean, we just know alcohol and stuff like that, but like it's everything, right? Too much exercise can be bad in some ways. It's all about if in a perfect scenario, it's about family has X amount for disposable income for entertainment. And so instead of spending it on something, they do it in sports betting now, or sports betting is just getting a slice of that pie. That's sort of how I'm envisioning it in a sort of Pleasantville world, right, where it's not damaging.
Well, it's one of the things that the states have to look at, because if they get too greedy and put too high a tax, you're driving it back to the black market. And the black market works because in a lot of places, the bookies still offer credit. And so the idea of legalized sports wagering is you can only wager what you put on deposit. And doing it in the states, legal, kosher, if you will, make sure you get paid, where there's been huge problems with people getting paid betting offshore. So there's a level of maturity that you have to hope comes with this responsibility. But I understand what you're saying, and it's a very moral, tough thing, because the more people lose as a team, we don't want people betting on us and losing. You know, that has a negative effect. That turns fans the wrong way. but it's finding that right balance that it becomes sports entertainment and an add-on rather than a habitual problem that drives people away.
Along those lines, I thought it was a really kind of memorable moment two football seasons ago when Todd Gurley fell down around the goal line against the Packers. I think it changed the total, but obviously the point spread was a big thing. It was like the marquee 4 p.m. Eastern slot. And he fielded questions in the media scrum in his near his locker, and they asked a point spread question. And he just answered it like, I don't care about the point spread. I'm just worried about winning the game. And then the next question. I just thought it was significant because you got a point spread question in the NFL locker room, and no one like looked at him, and you can hear a pin drop. It was just in stride. So that's a good thing. It's kind of arrived. That was like sort of when betting had arrived, I think, in the NFL in such a big stage. But I think to your point, you said you don't want people losing a lot of money in the hot. Like, are you worried about the negative? I mean, we see it in fantasy, right? Guys go after players on fantasy, and you're always going to have the kind of the outlier idiots. But it could become extreme, too, even in the arena.
I read an article on the Action Network app on the way up here that this parlay pause was sending death threats to people. Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about, worrying about where it crosses a line and it goes from entertainment.
So, I mean, I want to take them to task for that because they built Parlay Pats into who he is. Correct. By writing articles.
They aggrandized him.
And like this whole ecosystem thing that I'm talking about, right? It's everything, right? It's the media. The media right now in sports betting, no offense, Doug, is largely terrible, right? It's like you don't have it, it's similar to when you know, the news first became a thing, right? They put journalists on television because they were the ones that knew the news, but they sucked on television. And so there wasn't a thoughtful amount of thinking about how to present news. And similarly right now, there's not a lot of thoughtfulness around how to present sports betting content. You know, obviously Doug is, you know, I joke, but he's a real talent, but he was a talent before sports betting. And he happens to know it really well. So that's rare, but there's not very many people out there that are able to do what he does. And even just the format of what you guys do, it's like, let's try to do something a little bit more inventive than just, you know, like your show and Lock It In. I mean, they're high quality shows, but the formats, and this is generally of sports media anyways, like how many more shows do we need where two people are yelling at each other, right? Like we need to start thinking, and especially because of this opportunity, right? Sports betting is presenting this amazing paradigm shift. And, you know, I talked to your boss this morning, Jimmy, about it, and I was like, you guys need to start doing more in this if you want to stay ahead of the
curve.
No,
it's a great point, and I'm glad you brought it up because it's a dilemma we have every day. And also, I know when you do something at ESPN, you have a lot of eyeballs. And with this new frontier of betting, I felt, and I think everyone who works on the show, was very adamant about doing Daily Wager in a very tasteful and kind of like mature manner. Because I think in a news and information way, because I think there was some uneasiness amongst leagues, and rightfully so. They were just, this is a foreign territory for them. You know, you heard about Al Leiter in front of Congress.
Yeah.
And like, people just didn't know. They're not in the space like we are. And we just had to do it kind of tastefully. So Adam Silver, Roger Goodell, not that they have their DVRs in set, but I'm sure they watched a snippet or it was brought to them. Like, okay, I get it. It can be have a normal, because you're fearing the worst when you have that kind of risk. So I just think doing it that cleanly was really important.
I think that's right. And it's a very well-produced show, and it like has brought that level of quality, I think.
Correct.
And you guys have highlights and things like that.
So right.
It's a big – it makes it feel better.
Because it's ESPN, you just kind of had to do it that way. And also, I believe in that. I don't believe in the crazy – you know, we're going to have like a monkey run around and like throw darts and try to pick games. While that would be funny as like kind of a third, you know, thing at the end of the show, they're just – you have to kind of pick your spots in that. Now, there's evolution in the space, but to your point – it is a TV show. We're trying to throw the widest net possible, and you kind of have to discuss the big games, but those might not be the best fiscal opportunities either.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the trouble, right? Like being a sports betting analyst, I was on ESPN for 2 years doing SportsCenter and talking about betting games, and when I started that first year with them, I was with talking to the producers, and I was like, I'm happy to do this, guys. It sounds really fun, but I don't want to give picks. I want to talk about the process, you know, the analytical process, and I want to like talk about like what metrics I look at and all this kind of stuff. Literally a week later, I'm giving picks. And it's because like that's just the easiest, you know, form of consumption out there. And, you know, that's why like, your podcast is important. I do a podcast called Bet the Process, which has really been about trying to talk about sports betting in a much more substantive and deeper way, which you can't do on a 1 minute SportsCenter hit. Like it's just impossible.
And that's the difficulty. Because you have to appeal to the masses. Well, the masses may not speak your language.
I mean, the masses aren't here.
Right.
The masses don't come to the Sloan Analytics Conference, right?
They just want to watch the Lakers-Bucks game. Who do you like? It's a coin. It's a pick 'em or minus one.
I just want to get some money on it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like fantasy, right? Like, I'm not a diehard fantasy guy, and I live sports, and I'm a bachelor. Like, I could only imagine if someone is already immersed in sports for his work and has family and other stuff. Like, you just go to, like, somebody's list and just say, who's higher? All right. That's my lineup. Because you're using it as a form of entertainment, communicate with my college buddies or whatever. It is a challenge we will have, and I think it's going to evolve, and hopefully the process will be embraced by the masses. But you're right. Like anything, immediacy and shortcuts is going to win out. And that is a concern. And we talk about it all the time because we do stuff for .com that is sort of, pure, I guess, in terms of just like picks, and like you can pick a Rutgers first half line. Whereas like on TV, we have to like tonight's A block is going to be all Bucks and Lakers. Right. And we're going to get reporters giving some, information, just like minutes count or whatever, you know, stuff like that, like Steph last night in his first game back. And then also just guys like Tim Legler. But I'm going to bring up Legs as an example. Like Steph's first game back, as someone who's like in the analytics, are you curious if you think Legler would go over or under 19.5 points?
I don't give a what Legler would say.
I think I do.
What I care about is right now, I would love to look at that game and see how many possessions they had. Because I want to see if they really played faster with Steph. Because like, you know that Steph is an over cheat code, right? Because he can shoot, and he's bad on defense, and he makes them play faster. So I'd want to see if they were faster. And then I'd want to see how much the totals in the next game has adjusted to
that.
Right,
but what about the first game? Like, you hadn't seen him in 58 games.
What does Legler know that, like, why?
He talked to me, he goes, look, Steph's not going to have his legs early on. The players, it's going to be a lot of, he's not going to score much early, and then he'll get his rhythm later. He's been, like, spot on.
And that's rocket science to you?
I think a guy who played the game, but he has talked about, there's been other guys who took time off who came back, and he says his legs will be fresh. It's the next game that he'll be worried about.
And the reason I'm like going after you about this is like, because to me, this is like the narrative of like why you can beat people in sports betting, right? Because there is the Tim Legler who watches the games and has a theory. I mean, and obviously there is like some level of that information that's going to be really valuable. Mm-hmm. But generally those types of things end up being much more narratives than they really are. Like, you know, Matthew Berry, who's going to be on the panel that I'm doing tomorrow, he and I have talked a bunch about sort of like the inside information that he's gotten within fantasy, right? Like, and, you know, I was like, we were like, Ty, is this going to be problematic, you know, in the world of legalized sports betting? And basically, like, as we went through it, it's like half of the information he gets is useful and half is totally not useful. So, like, it's the opposite, you know? And so, I guess what I'm saying is, you know, at the core, right, like the reason I love sports betting is because it's there's analytics there and there's an ability to actually like drive. And if you have a hypothesis, you can test it and then you can implement it in real life based on betting. And so like someone like Tim Legler, I think, and this is the other thing that's just dangerous. Like I think it's really dangerous to have people talking about sports betting at some level that don't understand it or don't know it. And like they're quote unquote an expert. And you see it all the time, like these guys are giving picks like as part of their studio shows who have no idea about sports betting. And it's just, it's like morally, like it's a moral hazard and it's like, it drives me crazy.
There's a reason I asked you the question because I knew you'd have a response along those lines because I think that's accurate. I think it's important. I think what we've tried to do just to clean up, like Legler doesn't necessarily want to pick all like put him on the spot. I think it's important for all consumers and also bettors just to aggregate information. I want to hear his opinion and I may be able to filter it out or he may say something that may sway me, but you're right. It's a dangerous slippery slope. It's one thing if you're like filling out your bracket and we do like a bracketology with Lenardi and Jay Billis gives his final four. That's clean. It's fine. But you're right. When there's like juice involved and not everyone understands what that means and minus 120 versus minus 130 and just like stuff like that. Especially when you're at ESPN too.
I think the mainstream media personalities have a real responsibility to become more knowledgeable and understand because there's all these things that happen, like whether it's endorsing someone who sells picks and who isn't going to potentially win you a lot of money because he's selling you picks, but you endorse him because he's a friend or he's a nice guy, or
right.
What's the problem? These are real problems that, especially as more and more, so we want this handle to grow, but if this handle grows, then more and more people are actually betting money and losing money, and there's just a real responsibility that mainstream media does. Like, you guys are lucky because you understand betting, and you're like, you really do, and so you can actually like, You can have a Legler on, you can take his content, and you can interpret it in a way that is useful to sports bettors. But how many other of the SportsCenter anchors can do that? I would say not many.
I mean, I got lucky in that, you know, I've been doing it my whole life, but I lived in Vegas for 7 years, and thank you for saying that. I mean, it does mean a lot. But also just, you know, they joked, if you were going to launch a gambling show in 2019, what would you have done at ESPN the 4 to 5 years before that? It was like exactly like what I did. Game Day Radio for 7 hours, unscripted every Saturday. 7 o'clock SportsCenter solo. Raps, which is like half times of games. And like, it's just, you know, it's basically like I was painting fences. Like Mr. Miyagi was getting me to train for this. I just didn't know it at the time. But I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you a couple of times. I know you wanted to jump in.
No, but so much of it starts with the producer. And I don't want to get too inside here. But many years ago, I was out for dinner with Jerry Glanville. Jerry was the former coach of the Atlanta Falcons, bigger than life character. And he was on a show on HBO, Inside the NFL. And they did picks every week. And the producers had him, no matter what he thought, go the opposite of the other talent, because he was always the wild card. We were out to dinner and a woman came up and said, I just want you to know you cost me my grocery money last week. I want the silence to set in. Because they see him on TV, because people who are on TV are seen in a different light, there's more responsibility needed than ever before, because people take it as wisdom and knowledge, to your point on Legler. Tim Legler's a good NBA analyst after the game. This is all before the game, and that's where it gets dangerous.
But I think in general, just a platform, even if it's not ESPN, and maybe you don't even have NBA credentials like Legs does, I think it's just in general, if someone on any network is giving a pick, probably subconscious more than anything, there's people inherently thinking that person knows something that they don't.
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, I when I was doing ESPN, I made a pick on the Super Bowl, the Broncos, Panthers Super Bowl, I remember, and you know, the numbers and the value at that time, it was probably on the Panthers. I mean, Peyton Manning could barely throw a 10-yard pass at that point. And, you know, I had to make a pick because it was the Super Bowl, so I made that pick. And then, you know, my wife, one of her friends' husbands, I guess, watched me and was going to bet on Denver and then decided to bet on Carolina because I said something. And, obviously, like, it's just one case. But it makes you feel terrible. You're like, this is, I cost someone money by being wrong about something. So, I don't know the answer, because again, like, this is like, and when I think about parallels, I obviously think about financial markets and I think about stock pickers. And I remember I was having this whole conversation once with a guy that is a very successful, he used to manage Charles Schwab's money, like the actual man, Charles Schwab. And so we were like, he is a real guy. It's called Chuck. We were talking about, and I was talking about touts. And if you guys don't know what touts are people that sell picks and they make money off selling picks. And most of them are scam artists, yep. Right? You know, I have no bones about saying that. There are some that are not. There are some that are, you know, really trying hard to win you money. But most of them are scam artists. And we were talking about touts. And I was like, what about you guys with stock pickers? He said, 93% of stock pickers do not beat the S&P 500. Right? Literally, like, it's the exact same thing. So as much as we like talk about sports betting, it's not that different than the financial markets too, where there's all these people trying to make money off of you by, selling you, a dream.
Eddie Murphy, Billy Ray Valentine, and Trading Places, right? Sounds to me like you guys are a couple bookies. No, but like, there are parallels, and it's concerning because, and I'm sure at the time, but I don't want that responsibility. I don't want people following me. I don't think you should blindly follow anyone. I think it's all about making your own decisions. And if you don't want to follow anyone, then you just want to make picks because you want to enjoy the game, like opening a beer, that's fine too. But I think the show is designed to just speak to the better, but also just speak to games in and of itself and not storylines that are nothing to do with games. We're in that hour of like previewing, before tip off and things like that. So that was like our objective. Thank you, everyone, and thanks to my two guests here. Really interesting stuff. I appreciate it, guys. You guys are really good sports.
Yeah, you too. Absolutely.
DraftKings is giving new users a free shot at over $100,000. Download the DraftKings app and enter code Doug, D-O-U-G, at signup. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. All right, that's going to do it for this podcast. Hope you all enjoyed it from Jeff and Steve and the audience with the questions chiming in. Really cool to see a crowd out here. The Behind the Bets brand is growing, but a lot of fun, and I appreciated the hospitality of everyone here at the Sloan Conference. Next week, we're going to be talking Champ Week, NBA stretch, and then obviously the NCAA tournament after that. So a lot of hoops coming up in the next couple of weeks. So thanks to Jeff. Thanks to Steve. And thanks to you for downloading it. Have an awesome weekend, and be sure to check us out next week with more hoops coverage in March.